If you're a business owner or soon-to-be business owner, you'll be interested in our Money Sense program this week, insurance strategies that you may want to consider for your business. The program begins after this break. Welcome to this week's Money Sense program. I'm your host, Brent Laux, joined today by Stuart Gillott. Stuart is the insurance advisor you deal with at PWM Financial Services, Inc. So how's winter treating you so far, Stuart?
Well, so far so good, Brent. Yeah, little tricky coming into work this week right after that snow, but
yeah. Well, Saskatchewan in November.
Absolutely.
We always seem surprised by this every year.
Oh, but we've had such a good fall so far. It's been crazy.
Big time. So yeah. Being the insurance advisor at PWM, you talk about insurance. And on our program this week, you want to discuss how we can use insurance in a business planning process. Tell me more.
Exactly, Brent. So today we'll discuss how various types of insurance can be used in certain business planning areas.
So where do we get started on this topic, Stuart?
Well, as with most cases, we always talk about the most simplest and straightforward part of that. And it's very similar to when we deal with personal sides of things. But debt coverage is really where we see most of the insurance placed. As with personal debt, we need to take a look at the terms, you know, whether it's a loan or a line of credit, and then especially when we're looking at that line of credit, what's the worst case scenario when it's maxed? We want to make sure we're covered off there. With a loan, it's a little easier. You know, we just take a look at the loan amount, and the time that it's going to be there. And then we just reduce the coverage manually as the loan balances reduce.
So, Stuart, when you talk about that, I'm assuming this would be a term insurance solution?
Yes, Brent, it would. We would match the length of the term insurance to the terms of the debt. And most of the insurance companies that we work with these days have various lengths of coverage designed just for this purpose. I'll add in some cases that the cost of the insurance can even be used as a tax deduction. But there needs to be proof, documented proof from the lender that they're requiring this coverage to be in place.
You know, we're on a good topic today, and especially for people who own a business or are potentially going to own a business, thinking about ways to use insurance products in your business with Stuart Gillott. So what would that next business opportunity that you see insurance being used be, Stuart?
Well, Brent, the most common one would be the buy-sell or shareholders agreement coverage.
And what kind of insurance would we be using there?
Well, this all depends on how that agreement is set up. When there's two or more shareholders or partners involved in a business, you know, it's important to have, first of all, that formal buy-sell agreement. We run into it quite often that, you know, it's usually just a verbal thing. But inside those agreements, it details what happens, if a shareholder dies, they become critically ill. And then even sometimes it talks about if one of them were to become disabled. It would be less costly to use insurance to fund these buyout clauses than to, say, borrow money or liquidate assets to come up with the funds to fulfill these obligations outlined in the agreement. The most common one that we run into, type of insurance that is life insurance to cover off the death, of a shareholder. But like I said, we do also look at critical illness insurance. And then some of the companies have specific buy-sell disability insurance plans that they've designed.
Now, again, I'll ask, would then all of these be term insurance solutions for business owners?
You know, in most cases, Brent, yes. But again, it's determined by the length of the time that the shareholder sees themselves, being together in this business. So in the shorter timeline, yeah, definitely we would look at term insurance, match it up to, sort of a horizon, perhaps one of them retiring or maybe it is sort of a short-term type business. However, in the longer time frames, and if the business has significant cash flow, we might look at whole life insurance solutions to cover this off. This could provide the shareholders with, another opportunity to tax shelter some of this excess cash that's coming into the corporation as well. We could use, let's say, in a whole life, we could use the accumulation of dividends in there to do that. Or if we were to look at a universal life, they have an investment account in there that we could, put these excess cash values in there. And then it would provide extra values for these shareholders in the future.
And what kind of values would we be talking about here, Stuart?
Well, I mean, here's an example of one that we've done fairly recently that might work. We've discussed this with the clients and they decided that they wanted a hands-off approach. And so when we get to that point, it really means whole life. They don't have to manage the investments inside of it. That's taking care of them. And what we did for the shareholder, and they were quite young in the business, the policy was for $1 million. The policy was paid on an annual basis. She was a young lady, 35-year-old non-smoker. The annual cost for this plan was just over $13,000. Then when we looked at the illustration or the projections, when she reaches 55, that death benefit has now increased to $1.4 million, and there's an internal value inside of there of about $600,000. And then at age 65, if she were to pass, that death benefit was $1.9 million, and the cash value is just over $850,000.
Which sounds very good, but what happens if the dividends don't perform as they currently are?
Well, good question, Brent, because that is something that we address with the clients. And even though this is a hands-off approach, the people managing that money, they do see ups and downs. So we looked at the dividend scale. If that were to perform at, say, 1% lower than what it is currently, at 55, the death benefit is $1.3 million instead of $1.4 million. And instead of 600,000 cash value, it's around 360. Move ahead to 65. That death benefit's 1.6 million, and the cash value is just over 700,000.
We're talking about insurance strategies and products you may want to consider for your business on our Money Sense program with Stuart Gillott. You've talked about critical illness on our programs before. Maybe you can go over that again.
Definitely. As with life insurance, we would follow the guidance of that buy-sell agreement and determine if the term solution or a permanent solution was the best one. Again, we get to this, if there's good cash flow, we could look at a more robust solution, and we've talked about this on previous shows, where it's a split dollar or a shared owner strategy with the critical illness.
And that's the one I remember talking with you about when we did our critical illness program earlier this year.
That's correct, Brent. Yeah, I'll just review an example that illustrates how that works. We had this farm couple, both 50, and it was a farm corporation. We had determined that the husband was the main labor force inside of there generating the revenues. And so they decided they just needed to place the critical illness on him to protect the wife and the family from an impact should he suffer a major critical illness. He wanted to make sure funds were readily available to cover, the farm equipment loan, maybe hire some additional help to maintain the farm family or the family farm, while he was recovering. So when we went through the needs analysis, we came up with a number of about $500,000. We looked at this term to age 75, so that's more of a permanent style of critical illness. We did this split dollar arrangement where we add return of premium on there. So any point after 15 years, the cash value inside of there, they can surrender the policy and get all the money in there. So when we looked at the premium for this, it was about $19,710. When you break that down, his farm corp would pay for the majority of it. So that would be just shy of $11,000. And then he would pay personally $8,775 annually. So we move forward and we say to him, 15 years from now, you've reached 65. You've not need to claim against this policy. The Farm Corp has been able to get rid of their major debts. And then the idea was that they would start transitioning the farm to the son. And so they don't really need the critical illness protection anymore. At this point, the client has personally paid $131,625,000. However, upon canceling that, he would receive a check from the insurance company for just shy of $296,000 tax free. So you can easily see how this protection would, you know, over the period of time they need it, would provide peace of mind. Then they don't need it anymore. He's able to recoup those premiums in a very unique and tax efficient manner.
We're talking about different insurance strategies business owners may want to consider using in their business to help protect their investment with Stuart Gillott from PWM Financial Services. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about disability coverage when we return. We're talking insurance strategies for business owners. Brent Laux along with Stuart Gillott, the insurance advisor with PWM. Stuart, you'd mentioned earlier there's sometimes a need for disability coverage when it comes to a business. How would that work?
Yeah, so there's a couple of companies that we work with on the disability inside that have designed a specific solution called Buy-Sell Disability. And that would be in a situation where one of the shareholders becomes disabled, and in their agreement it said that then they need to buy it out. So this coverage, unlike most disability insurance, provides a lump sum amount of funds to validate this buy-sell or this buyout clause. Mm-hmm. And it's really only suited for, you know, the privately held business owners. And it only comes, unfortunately, in occupations 2A, 3A, and 4A. And I'll just delve a little deeper into that because it probably sounds like it's an odd language to most people. So in some of our earlier shows, we've gone through this in more detail, but I'll give some examples of who fits into these categories. So 2A occupation class category would be our electricians, locksmiths, florists, registered massage therapists. Then when we move to the next one, which is 3A, that would be people like bank managers, clerks and tellers, property managers, and our librarians. 4A are our professionals. So our doctors, our dentists, lawyers, and then other business owners and executives who only perform, administrative or consulting office duties only. The one stipulation with this solution that the insurance companies have come up with is that all shareholders must apply for this coverage.
Are there any other considerations when it comes to all three types of insurance that you're discussing?
There certainly is, Brent. When it comes to the key employees, we can use insurance to protect the business against loss of that key employee. Whether it be due to dying or becoming critically ill or disabled.
Would those then work the same as the buy-sell insurance solutions you talked about with the other plans?
The life insurance and critical illness on that key person would, yeah. The company would buy an insurance on the key person. They would be the owner, the payer, and the beneficiary of the policy. This would allow them to have funds available when they need it to cover costs associated with the loss of that key person. With the critical illness, you could also set up shared ownership, and I talk about this quite a bit. This would allow the key person to pay for that return of premium benefit on there and then surrender the policy should they not become ill, fortunately, throughout the time at the company. And then this would be a good way to augment their retirement savings.
What about key person disability insurance?
Yeah, again, there's some specific solutions been designed in this that would provide benefits in the event of a key employee being totally disabled. Only available in that 2A, 3A, and 4A category. There's two types of ways to set this up. There's a wage loss plan, and then there's a reimbursement plan. So when we look at the wage loss plan, this is designed to provide a source of income for a key employee while he or she is totally disabled. The premium is deductible to the employer, but is considered a taxable benefit to that key employee. The disability benefit is then tax-free to the key employee. The other one is a reimbursement plan, and this plan is designed to help protect the company from, say, loss of sales or increased expenses or a high replacement cost when a key employee is totally disabled. So you could double up on these coverages with regular individual loan disability and then have this. In this situation, the premium is not deductible and the disability benefits are tax-free to the company. So in this situation, the policy must be company-owned and cannot be assigned anywhere.
Stuart, I recall on previous programs we've talked about disability insurance. There's also coverage a business owner can get to cover some of their overhead expenses, right?
Good memory, Brent. We must have done this too often. There is a specific insurance solution that looks after this need, and a lot of business owners put this in place to cover those overhead expenses that come up. And when we look at some of those eligible expenses that could be covered, would be things like rent, cost of utilities, property taxes, property insurance for the business premises itself, cost of leasing furniture and equipment, including an automobile, cost of telephone and other communication services, and, you know, then cost of your independent accounting and legal services.
Stuart, we've discussed using insurance to cover business debt, the shareholder agreement, and the key people in my company. Are there any other business needs that you're able to assist owners with?
There is, and we can also help businesses put in place employee benefits. This is a good tool for owners to attract and retain employees. You know, this may be the first time they're looking at something like this, or they just might be looking for a second opinion on the plan that they currently have. These plans can offer a wide variety of benefits to, you know, the key ones being the health and the dental. But we also look at some things where we add on some group disability, some life insurance, and maybe some critical illness insurance on these plans.
Any business owners or aspiring business owners listening to our Money Sense program and they're curious about what we've been talking about today, they'd like to find out more about insurance strategies that they could use in their business, how do they get that information?
Well, the easiest way would be to reach out, give me a call at 306-975-9500, and I would be more than happy to answer any insurance-related questions. They can also check the whole team out on the website, and that's www.pwmprivatewealth.com.
It's always an informative program when we spend time talking about insurance products with you, Stuart. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Brent.
This is Money Sense. Insurance products and services are offered through PWM Financial Services, Inc., an independent company, which is not a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. The products and companies discussed in this show are for informational purposes only and should not be considered an offer, recommendation, or other form of insurance planning or advice. Please talk with an insurance advisor. You've been listening to Money Sense.